Thank you. Please keep that passage open, and let's pray for God's help as we look at it together. Father God, we do thank you for your word to us in the Bible, and we pray by your Spirit you would move in our minds to understand and move in our hearts and wills to believe and obey what you have for us this evening. Amen. Well, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've got this series in Luke teaching us about what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus says, I am the Christ, the promised one of God, and you need to follow me. But it won't be easy. And through his teachings and through some of the stories that Luke has collected here for us, we see what it looks like to follow Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus here this evening, this is teaching on being a disciple, and it'll be a vital a central piece to enabling us to enjoy our life with God. If you don't yet believe, or if you're not sure what you believe, then you can look in and see the life of a Christian and see something of the greatness of our King. The story is fairly straightforward as we read here. Jesus and his disciples, they're on a trot around the villages and they arrive in this particular place where a lady called Martha says, come on in. I'm going to host you in my home. And she has a sister, Mary, and there's lots of preparations to do for this group of people. But Mary isn't helping. So Martha has this question at the end of verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. It's one of those questions that expects a certain answer. She's saying, surely, Lord, you can see this lazybone sister of mine. Get her up on her feet and into the kitchen and get her to be helping me. That is what's going on. But instead, Jesus answers, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Don't bother with what Mary's doing. She has chosen what is better, and it will be not taken away from her. The response is loving, but it is correcting her, isn't it? And it's an unexpected answer in some ways. It's been remembered and recorded for us here in Luke's Gospel. She has chosen what is better. Why is it better to be listening to Jesus? And there's a contrast between this passage and the one just before. If you were here last week, we had the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's something that Jesus teaches. It's a well-known story. And it's basically saying, go and do. Go and do likewise. Be a good neighbor to any or all you come across. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in this passage, Jesus commends listening. And next week, we're going to hear his teaching on praying, about speaking to God. Should we do love to our neighbor, or should we stop and spend time with God, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? As I've been thinking about preaching through these passages, I've been reminded of Star Wars. Way too much stuff reminds me of Star Wars these days. I'm just getting my kids to start watching it with me. But if you know the story, one character is being trained in his powers. He has his mind powers, and he's starting to be able to move stones around. But then he's asked to raise his spaceship out of a swamp. He thinks it is impossible for him, and then is persuaded to give it a go. This character is, of course, Luke Skywalker. He says, all right, I'll give it a try. But the character Yoda says, no, try not. Do or do not, there is no try. Or something like that. Do or do not, that's my excuse. Jesus cannot be saying, remove yourself from the world and spend all your time in contemplative prayer. He's just given us the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here is the priority of hearing the word of God in your life of active service as a disciple. He's saying, do or do not, but you need to be listening to Jesus. And as we look in on this true story, we're pointed to that higher priority, the highest priority of loving God in doing what we do. And we'll see a vital corrective to a wrong attitude to service, how you do what you do. True discipleship is a combination of that service of God and quiet reflection, keeping listening to Jesus. So I've got 2 points for us this evening: a vital priority to listening to Jesus, and a vital attitude in listening to Jesus. First of all, the vital priority of listening. Do or do not, but You need to listen. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, an old president of America. He often endured long receiving lines at the White House. You can imagine he's there and there's a whole queue of people coming to see him. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. One day during a reception, apparently he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." Apparently, it was not till the end, towards the end of the line, when the ambassador from Bolivia actually heard his words. "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming, sir." I'm sure we can all give stories of when we were not listened to. But how about our own listening? Luke records for us here Mary. She's a woman now amongst the men at the feet of Jesus. In that culture today, at that time, listening to the rabbi, that's quite significant. Jesus wasn't splitting off the women from the men, but drawing all people to himself. But while Mary shows rapt attention to Jesus' words, Martha is distracted, that word there, pulled away by serving. Now, she's busy for Jesus. She's dependable. We have sympathy for her. She's the kind of woman we want in our churches, providing, capable, getting jobs done. Maybe she had a particular gift of hospitality, spending time giving herself for Jesus' comfort. But she's distracted. She's doing good, but it's distracting her, preventing her from listening to Jesus. Verse 41 and 42, Martha's not criticized for what she is doing. They're good things. But her concern about others and her distraction. Maybe she'd have been better off providing a lighter meal and then having time with her guest. So will we be like Martha and allow our good doings to distract us from listening to Jesus? Or will we be like Mary and choose what is better? As Christians, this is a warning against the sort of activism which distracts us from listening to our Lord Jesus. We are to keep the word of God, at the center of whatever we are doing. We're to make sitting at Jesus that one thing. Remember Psalm 27? The one thing we desire, to be in the presence of God. Mary has chosen what is better. Mary's choice to be listening to the words of Jesus is good at all times. J.C. Ryle, a famous old bishop, says, Mary's choice was good in sickness and good in health, good in youth and good in age, good in adversity and good in prosperity, good in life and good in death, good in time and good in eternity. Whatever we're up to, the priority is our time in the presence of God. I guess for some here, that may mean listening more than we speak. The old thing about having two ears but only one mouth. Turning to scriptures before churning out advice. Listening to what God has done in others before sharing our own experience and wisdom. Listening before we speak. For some, this may mean stopping or pausing something for a time. Mary and Martha were sisters and so presumably co-hosts for this group. Yet while Martha is busily clanging pots and pans and presumably huffing and puffing, Mary has stopped doing a job. How dare she? Well, she dares to stay with Jesus. Maybe this week you will demonstrate your love for God when you leave some dishes unwashed, some papers unread, some garden unsorted, some other activity that you enjoy, and instead spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Even ministry tasks can and should be suspended if they're distracting from listening to Jesus. We may need to reduce our busyness to maintain our fellowship with our God. It's so true, isn't it, that so often when we're busy, the first thing to go is our prayer life. I've got this useful thing, I've got this useful talk, I've got this useful act of service, this loving visit to my neighbour. And then our prayer life is squashed or becomes just a list of things that we want to tick off. Enjoying our time with God. There's a vital priority of listening for us as disciples, because we've got many things to do to prepare for the return of Jesus. If you don't yet believe in Jesus, or you're not sure, Jesus claims to have the words of life, an ongoing life with God. We're made by God to know him and experience his love. There's no other person or place to find contentment, purpose, fulfillment. And if that's the claim, well, surely it's important to listen to Jesus. It's why every term we regularly have Christianity Explored here, a great course where basically we read through Mark's gospel together to listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus claims to have the words of life, of salvation, bringing us back to God. Listen to Jesus' words in John 3, where he says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Or later, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." This is clearly important. Life-changing news. Listening to Jesus. Not just sticking with what we think we know about him. That's the most important thing we can do. So Martha wrongly judges Mary's inaction. Mary shows great wisdom in spending time with Jesus. We see the vital priority of listening to Jesus. Do or do not, but you need to listen. But secondly, there's a vital attitude of listening. Because in listening, we receive from someone else. Do or do not, but we need to receive. You see, doings can be distracting, but they can also be done with a wrong attitude. C.S. Lewis writes of the sort of woman who lived for others. Whatever she was doing, she was busily living for others. And you could tell who these others were by their haunted expressions. Or maybe you know the story of the scouts helping the old lady to cross the road. I don't know if Bobber Job Week still exists, but when I was a scout, a cub, we had kind of that week where you had to help others in order to gain your badge. When asked why these scouts, it took four of them to help this old lady to cross the road, they answered it was because she didn't really want to cross the road in the first place. As Christians, there can be a danger in serving. There can be a danger because our self-esteem can become tied up in serving and doing the right thing, rather than our relationship with God. Question to you might be, if your role was taken away, do you still come to church? Who are you before God if you're not doing that thing that you do at church? We are to take our work seriously. We serve our Lord, but we're not to put ourselves into that work. We're not to need to be needed by others. One thing is needed: Jesus, our time with Jesus. Receive from him. Or as Christians, there can be danger in serving in another way, because we can take pride in ourselves and what we do and start comparing to others, thinking Jesus needs my work and I'm on the right team and these other people, well, they're not really up to scratch. They're not really as busy as I am for God. We're all forgiven sinners. There's no sense in judging others. We just need to concentrate who we are with God. I don't know if you notice that in this passage. Martha is accusing Mary of selfishness, but she's being self-absorbed. Jesus, don't you care about me? Get Mary to help me. Get her to help me, because my work is the most important work. My passion is the most important passion. My particular area of ministry, well, that's the one everyone should get involved in. Does that sound like something you might hear? To the busy Christian who might ask, Lord, don't you care that these people aren't doing what I'm doing for you? Get them to join in. The answer might come back. You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Choose what is better. Concentrate on me, your loving Father God. What your brother and sister is up to is no concern of yours. If you don't believe in Jesus, we're reminded here that the Christian faith is about done rather than do. Doings, good works that show love, they can never be good enough. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that we all fall short. We all fail. Our pride and selfishness make a mess over and over again. We live in God's world. We ignore his open arms to us. And one day we will have to give an account to God of how we've lived and responded to him. And all our doings and our thoughts and our attitudes will be revealed. But Jesus has love for you, which you need to receive. He knew we needed a substitute in our place. In chapter 9 of Luke, he asks Peter, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You are God's Messiah, God's Christ, God's special one." And Jesus says, "Well, I must suffer many things. I must be rejected. I must be killed. And on the third day be raised to life." And later in the chapter, knowing where he was headed, Luke writes, "As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Jesus knew who he was and what he had come to do. He was God's son, the Christ, the Messiah. He'd come on a mission of love to be rejected, to suffer horribly, and be killed as a sacrifice for whoever would trust in him. And he resolutely set out to Jerusalem to do it for me, for you. Don't rely on your do. Rely on his done. Maybe some people here are so busy trying to do good, you don't feel you need to come to Jesus. We can use good activity almost to keep Jesus at a distance, staying what we think is good enough so as not to admit our need of God's help in the person of Jesus. Friends, today is the day to give up your self-reliance and ask for his help. Christianity is not about what you need to do, but what about God has done for you. Well, wonderfully, we pick up Mary and Martha later in the gospel accounts, and we hear some wonderful testimony, some wonderful words from them. In John 11, Martha, that by then has a firm belief in Christ, the raiser of the dead, as she is asking Jesus for her brother Lazarus. She has spent time listening to Jesus, and this has given her a sure and certain hope. In John 12, Mary anoints Jesus with perfume. Do you remember that story? As if for burial. She has spent time listening to Jesus and has a great belief in Jesus' mission, in her saving death. Hearing Christ's word gives us a great experience for discipleship, a sure and certain hope of where we're headed. So if you don't know this Jesus, can I suggest grabbing a gospel? Mark's gospel takes about an hour to read through. And listening for yourself to what Jesus has to say. The forgiveness, the life he offers. It is vital to listen to him and vital to receive. And Christian activists, and there are many here. It's a challenge back to us, isn't it? Are you holding to that which is the good portion, the most important thing? Time with Jesus. Listening to him, giving purpose and joy to all of our serving. Let us pray. Father God, may we know the joy of time with Jesus. May we hear his words. So then may we serve out of the hope and purpose we get of following our Lord. Amen.